Law enforcement and intelligence agencies have a new tool to help them zero in on terrorists. Defuse is a software application that helps investigators link bomb fragments to bomb makers. The software has been adopted by U.S. Special Operations Command, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and other organizations in 20 countries. For details, we turn to Neil Fretwell, Operations Director at ISS Global and former lead investigator at the United Kingdom Police National Bomb Data Center. He joins us now via Skype. Neil, good morning.
Good morning to you.
All right. So tell us about this software. When a bomb explodes, how is there anything left that can be traced to who made it?
Well, it's a very difficult process, but as long as you deal with bomb scenes in a very systematic way, which is done across most Western countries, there is always evidence retrievable from a bomb scene, no matter how small. What the difficulty is how do you identify those fragments? And that's where the software assists us greatly. Over lots of years, especially at Scotland Yard, unfortunately, with the long history of terrorism we've had, a large database of bomb fragments and components was built up. And any fragment that's recoverable from a scene will have identifying marks on it. And as long as these identifying marks from previous scenes have been entered in the database, it's a fairly logical process to actually identify them. The process obviously is not only to identify the fragment or the component, but it's to identify who manufactures that component, who distributes it, where it's actually sold, and through that, hopefully, moving towards the perpetrator.
Well, give us an example of what fragment might be part of in a bomb. I mean, I think of fragments as like nails and things like that that could come from almost anywhere.
Yeah, that's very true. But most improvised explosive devices will have a number of particular components, a power source. Most IEDs will have a power source. Most notably, batteries. You know, batteries are identifiable through batch numbers. They may have a timing device. You know, a clock, an electronic timing device. Each of these have unique signatures in the way they're actually manufactured. And if you have a database to compare them against, again, it's a fairly easy step to actually identify them.
All right, so give us an example of how it might work. What does the software do? Say I find a piece of a fragment of a battery or a fragment of a power supply, and it's from Radio Shack or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, you will have identifying numbers on there, or even a partial identifying number on there. What we tended to find, especially in the UK, the Irish terrorist was a creature of habit, and if it wasn't broke, they wouldn't fix it, and they tended to build up large repositories of components that they used. When we found a particular component, we could enter it into the database, and just on one component alone or a combination of components, we could very readily identify the terrorist group that was actually involved in the attack just through their signatures of the way they manufactured the bombs and the componentry used.
So is Defuse itself a database? Or during those Irish Troubles eras, you didn't have Defuse?
No, it was that there was a big gap in the market, as it were. As you say, I worked in the Bomb Data Centre at Scotland Yard, and about 10 years ago, we had lots and lots of information, but mainly paper records, and that the need to have a database was identified, and the company were obviously requisitioned to write it in conjunction with the ATF. So initially, this was quite a major breakthrough because you had two countries' organizations inputting in how they wanted this database to work. The software now has a number of applications. It branches out into the wider crime field. And there are now a number of different products which have emanated from various needs. One of the main needs was the ability to be able to get crime scene information back to the center and also to other crime scenes very quickly so that initial investigations could take place. I mean, this actually came out of the terrible tragedy of the 7th of July back in 2005, where on the London Underground system, four devices were set off. And the only way we had at that time of actually getting imagery back from these bomb scenes was to take photographs, stick them onto a CD, put it on the back of a motorbike and actually drive it back to Scotland Yard, which obviously isn't a very efficient way of doing things. So a lot of these products actually formulated out of real-life situations. The company now have a range of products from net versions to mobile products, and it's utilised now in, as I say, 25 countries around the world. That in itself is each country has its own database, but the software gives you the ability to download encrypted data to send it electronically to any other country around the world who's also utilizing the software. And that country can upload the data, decrypt it, and it will automatically populate their databases, therefore negating the need to double key around the world. And it's been very, very successful over the years.
And looking at, say, the military is using it, because I guess the Special Operations Command, as we said at the beginning, is using it, and also our civilian law enforcement and national security agencies. Is there anything in common between, like, IEDs used in Iraq and Afghanistan and so forth, and those that might have been used, say, in the U.S. Boston Marathon bomber?
Well, there is only a finite number of ways of setting a device off, albeit our terrorists are very ingenious, and they're always looking to find new ways. An IED does have to have a number of components. It has to have an explosive element to it. It has to have a power source. It has to have a means of initiation, and sometimes It more often than not, it has to have a container to carry everything in. So in terms of how an IED operates, there is much commonality across those devices in conflict zones, and those certainly in the civilian field, as you stated, the Boston bombings. Yes, there are definite similarities.
Neil Fretwell is the operations director at ISS Global and former lead investigator of the United Kingdom Police National Bomb Data Center. And so I guess implicit in this is that bomb makers in some perverse way have pride in what they do, and therefore their products have a signature that they like to repeat.
Very much so. Very much so. You can identify bomb makers by the way they tie wires together, or the way they solder a particular wire on a circuit board. When I worked at Scotland Yard, we did a lot of analysis on devices coming out of Iraq originally, and then Afghanistan, and there was probably no more than about 20 major bomb makers across the whole of that region, and you could identify a particular device by the way, or a particular individual bomb maker by the way the device was put together. It was yes, as plain as the nose on your face.
Wow. So I wanted to ask you whether any of this has ever been like applied retrospectively in time, like say Ted Kaczynski, the famous Unabomber of the United States, now in jail, but he had a signature. Have you taken the software and applied it to known cases to kind of refine it and make sure that the algorithms are even, you know, closer to what you hope will give you the result you want?
Well, certainly, I would suspect that it takes place in the United States. It certainly takes place within the UK. We have particular units called cold case units, which I'm sure you have in the US. And every unidentified or unsolved terrorism case, especially bombings, has been looked at in the cold light of day against, you know, current methodologies and technologies. And there has been some notable successes over looking at cold cases with a new light and new software, new advances in technology.
And what about the way bombs are placed? Does the signature of a bomb maker extend to how they deploy it? And is that part of the data that can be used to trace back?
Well, certainly the data of how things are placed is part of the overall picture of terrorist methodology. We used to have a terrible saying in the UK where it's not if a suicide bombing is going to take place, it's when it's going to take place. And unfortunately, it came true. The difficulty with suicide bombers are they have a number of targets they can choose, and there's been a lot of work in the UK put around putting hard and fast defences in what they call crowded places, just to make it more difficult for a suicide bomber to walk into the middle of a large crowd and set it off. Unfortunately, large crowds gather, you know, almost everywhere in our big cities, and it's very difficult to negate everything or every eventuality, but you try and mitigate where you can.
Well, as an oftentimes rider on crowded tubes in the London Underground myself, I know exactly what you're talking about. It can get pretty crowded down there, as it can in the metro.
It certainly can.
And so just briefly, this you said there's a mobile component to the software. What does a typical deployment look like? Is it, it's networked, but there's also something that people can have on smartphones to use on the scene?
Very much so, yes. We've just actually got a contract with the National Counterterrorism Unit within the UK. There's a network of counterterrorism units. It's with our explosives officers over here, and it can go on any device. It's device agnostic. We deploy it on iPhones over here, and it's a very simple and easy way of getting fast time information back from scenes, back to the command control. We have a command control aspect to it, so you can track your assets on the ground. And it's the mobile aspect is the big one today. That's the area we're concentrating more on because that's the way technology is going.
All right. Neil Fretwell is the operations director of ISS Global and former lead investigator of the United Kingdom Police National Bomb Data Center. Thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome.